Good morning. Today's Daf and Yevamos Nun Tes. We're on Nunches Amud Beis. We're at the bottom of the Amud. So we have a little bit more to finish up to the next Mishnah. We are coming off of a Mishnah. The Mishnah takes us all the way back to Nun Vav Amud Beis. And the Mishnah brought down a machlokas Satanaim in that you are Shomeres Lebiya Psula. So a woman is primed for a Biya Psula. She unfortunately made some poor choices together with a man. She married a man that she's not allowed to marry. Kohen Gadol to an Amana. Kohen Hedger to Grusha Vechalutza. Anyway, they went through Kedushin. So at that point in time now, she is obviously primed to have a Biya Psula. With that Biya Psula, she'll become prohibited to eat Truma. With that Biya Psula, she will be a Chalala. And so she'll be forever forbidden to eat Truma, even if she is a Bas Kohen. But nevertheless, that Biya is going to change her status to becoming a Chalala. However, what if she does not have the Biya Psula, but she's primed for a Biya Psula? So that is, we learned back in the Mishnah, Nun Vav Amud Beis, the machlokes between Rameir and the Chacham. Rameir is of the position that being a Shomer's Biya Psula already is a Psul and will disqualify her. And the Shitas of Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon is that no, even though she accepted Kedushin and she is Shomer's Biya Psula, but that in of itself is not going to apostle her. Good. Then the Mishnah went on to say, and what if that marriage terminates? So it depends. Meaning if it terminated at the point of Kedushin, so good. So now she can go back to eating Truma. Meaning again, assuming that she's a Bas Kohen, she can go back and she can eat Truma. If the marriage terms but after Nisuin, so then of course she can't go back and eat Truma. And for the very simple reason that she had to be a Psula, obviously. And then she is going to be forever forbidden from eating Truma. Okay. That's the Mishnah. That's a quick recap of the Mishnah. Nisarmel and Iskarsha. The first question that we're going to be dealing with today is really not going to have much to do regarding the Mishnah, but it is going to be connected. It's going to be associated with, it happens to be, the upcoming Mishnah. We are Nun Ches Amud Beis. We're two lines from the bottom. Let's go. Ba'amine Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef Mishmoa. So the following question was posed from Rabbi Chia to Shmuel. And that is Kohen Gadol Shekiddush Es HaKatana Ubagra Tachtav. So let's say you have a Kohen Gadol Mekadosh Es HaKatana. So he does Kiddushin to a younger girl now. As we know, just quick recap, we all know this, that a girl through her developmental stages has three developmental stages. The first one is that she's a Katana, that's from birth until 12 years of age. The next stage is Nara, that's from 12 to 12 and a half. And then from 12 and a half onward, she's a Bogeris. Now, Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besula. Right, that's a pasuk in the Torah. We're going to be citing that, referencing that a little bit later on this morning. That requirement to marry a besula is going to be a machlokas in terms of whether or not he is allowed to marry a bogeris. I know that sounds strange, but it's not strange. It's a machlokas at tanaim. We'll come back to that a little bit later on. For our purposes right now, let us assume that a Kohen Gadol cannot marry a bogeris. In other words, by virtue of the fact that he's instructed and required to marry a besula. So right now, let's assume the Besula means that it has to be a girl under Bogeris. The Gemara uses the term Ketana, but Ketana, as Rashi points out over here, could be Ketana, could be Nara. In other words, just simply not a Bogeris. So the question on the table is the following. Let's say the Kohen Gadol is Mekadosh a woman, so Kiddushin is done where she is eligible, i.e. she is either a Ketana or a Nara. Then he waits before doing the Nisuin. And as I pointed out numerous times, typically there was a minhag to wait, a year before doing Nisuin, and it happens to be that in that time, she becomes now, she matures, and she advances to becoming a Bogeris. So now, for this Kohen Gadol, acceptable or unacceptable? That's the question. So, Kohen Gadol, Shekiddush Es HaKatana, Ubagar Tachtav, Mahu Basar, Nisuin, Azlinan, Basar, Erusin, Azlinan. So, do we follow Erusin, do we follow Nisuin? So, here's what the Gemara is thinking now. The Gemara says, I think the answer could be derived from our Mishnah. Now, granted that our Mishnah is talking about a different set of circumstances, and it's not really a fair equivalency, or the Gemara is going to make that point. But right now, let's see the Gemara, at least to try to use our Mishnah to answer this question. I'm related to Nisua. He says, let's look at our Mishnah. So look at when the marriage terminates. In other words, you have a woman who is married to a man that they're not allowed to be married to. So if the marriage terminates anywhere between Kedushin and Nisuin, fine, she can go back to eating the Truma. If the marriage terminates after Nisuin, so then she can't go back and eat the Truma. And right now, just giving us the thinking process of the Gemara, Alma, Rashi, third line down, Ama b'psul kahuna basa nisuin azlinan. So when it comes to psul kahuna, so we follow the point of nisuin. Midla pasal amana shenisarsa l'kohen gadol v'meis. Because what we're not doing is that we're not pasling an almana who is nit areis. She went through every sin, so she is not going to be pasal. So amar lei. So to which the Gemara says no. Our Mishnah and the current question on the table right now have nothing to do with each other. So the Gemara says, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, as I already explained, but here the Gemara is spelling it out, our Mishnah is only interested in one issue. When does she become a Chalala? And the answer is at the point of Bia. So if her and her husband only had Erisin together, granted that there was an Isser, and him being Mekadisher, but she doesn't become a Chalala. When does she become a Chalala? At the point of Bia. That's at the point of Nisuin. That's all our Mishnah is coming to teach us. Good. So such a woman, if the marriage terminates anywhere during Erisin, she can go back. If the marriage terminates after Nisuin, she can't go back. But only as a function of the fact that she had Bia with a man that she wasn't allowed to have with, and she becomes a Chalala. Ki kami bailei. The Gemara says the question over here is a totally unrelated question, which is, v'hu isha bifsu la'ikach. We know, the Torah says with clarity, what is the mitzvah of a Kohen Gadol? To marry a woman who is a besulim, a virgin. So my kicha. So when the Torah says yikach, what is the Torah focusing on at that point in time? Meaning which is a critical moment in which she has to be a besula. Now, I know this is going to sound a little bit strange because as a bogera, she's still a besula. So I'll give away some of the upcoming Gemara later this morning. And that is right now, the Gemara is assuming, not right now, the Gemara is assuming that the besulim of a bogeris is not as thick, is not as robust as the besulim of a katana. Okay, happens to be that, right, I did a little bit of investigation, a little bit of inquiry, and asked some of the medical professionals, and there's something to be said about this. Meaning, in other words, we can verify it even nowadays, but just right now operating with the Gemara's thought process, the Gemara thinks that a bogeris does not have as much besulim as that of a naran katana. Okay, let's assume, right? This is the Gemara's assumption, that a Kohen Gadol cannot marry a bogeris. Fine. So when the Torah says, ki bipsula yikach, vehu isha bipsula yikach, the question now becomes, what is the critical moment in terms of that kicha? Is that kicha going on the Kedushin? Or is it going on the Nisuin? The Kedusha be'inan o kicha de Nisuin be'inan? That's the Gemara's question, to which the Gemara says, fine. So it's totally unrelated to our Mishnah. So he says, look, okay, good. Now that you formulated the question, I know the answer. And that is based on the following. Iris es almana. Consider now the following brice of the following scenario. Okay, so it's a regular Kohen Hedjot. Kohen Hedjot is banned and prohibited from marrying a Grusha, but is totally within his right to marry an almana. Fine. He finds a lovely widow. Right, and he is Mekadesher. After the Kedushin, lo and behold, he got a phone call. There's an opening for the Kohen Gadol, and you're the man. Oh, fine. After hearing the phone call, he puts the phone down. I know I'm anachronistic. It's okay. So he puts the phone down, and he's like, oh, wait 1 second. Now I got a problem. Right? My Mikudeshes, my betrothed, she's an Almana. And now if I'm a Kohen Gadol, am I allowed to keep her? Oh, so the Gemara says yes. So Iris is Almana v'nisnam lios Kohen Gadol yichnos. So over here, the Brisa tells us that he can go. Why? Because he was Mekadesher Beheter. And so, what is the critical moment? Kiddushin. He was Mekadesher. When he was Mekadesher, it was done Beheter. So once he's Mekadesher Beheter, so then the Nisuin can continue. So it should be the same thing over here. When a Kohen Gadol's Mekadesh, again, he's not allowed to be Mekadesh or Bogaris. He is allowed to be Mekadesh, and it's a mitzvah for him to be Mekadesh, either Nara Katana, and he was Mekadesh in Nara Katana. So just like by the Kohen who's Mekadesh a Bogaris, sorry, just like a Kohen who's Mekadesh a Gerush, an Almana, I'm going to get it right, just like a Kohen who's Mekadesh an Almana, and then receives an appointment to become a Kohen Gadol, is allowed to keep her. So over here, it's the same. So Shani Hasim Dechsiv Yikachisha. So the Gemara says, no, in the case of the Almana, we have a drasha. Meaning, what you would have thought is no. Meaning, you would have thought that, look, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana. And so what we have over here is that we have a drasha, right? Rashi points out the words are superfluous, the word isha is superfluous. We have a drasha that says that this is an exception to what we would have thought. The default position is that he can't keep the amana wife. And the drasha is coming to tell us that he can keep the amana wife. So we have a drasha. So the Gemara says, hachanami ksiv isha. So the Gemara says, okay. So basically, what if we just learned together? We have a drasha that tells me that as long as a kohen is mekadesh a woman that's eligible to him, he can keep her. So then what's the difference between the case of the amana and our case of the besula? So achas v'lo shtayim. The way Rashi understands achas v'lo shtayim, we only have room for one drasha. Meaning that would represent a second drasha, and we don't have room for two drashas. So the Gemara says, umayshna, umay ra'isa. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Isn't it basically the same point? Why is it a separate drasha? Ha ishtana gufa v'ha lo ishtana gufa. No, there's a big difference. In other words, when it comes to the Kohen Hedjot, being Mekadesh and Almana, and then he becomes a Kohen Gadol. Has anything changed regarding his wife? Nothing changed. Meaning her physical body has not changed. So therefore, all we're doing is just basically maintaining the status quo. Okay, we need a drasha to maintain that status quo, but we have one. Good. Now let's go to the Kohen Gadol and a Nara. So now he's Mekadesh when she's a Nara. But now she actually undergoes a physical change. Again, the Gemara's assumption is that the Besulim of this Nara, once she becomes a Bogaris, is not the same Besulim. It thins out. So Ishtane Gufa, an actual physical change in her development. For that now, we would need another Drasha, but Achas V'lo Shtayim. But we only have room for one Drasha, not for two Drashas. Okay. So, question on the table, first part of today's daf. What happens when the Kohen Gadol is Mekadesh A, either Nara Katana, and then before doing the Suin, she becomes a Bogaris, and we're assuming right now that a Kohen Gadol cannot marry a Bogaris, so now is he allowed to keep her? Answer is, sounds like from the Gemara's conclusion, the answer would be no. Okay. Speaking of Kohen Gadol, Nun Tesamad Aleph, we're doing the Mishnah on the top of the, towards the top of the Amud. So here, for the rest of today's daf, we're going to be learning about the Kohen Gadol and who he can and cannot marry. Again, it sounds like a funny place to discuss this, meaning we're learning Yevamos, but over here in the sixth perek, so a lot of the basic halachas regarding Bia and the definition of Besulim, so they're going to be all spelled out over here in the sixth perek, and so the Mishnah is going to segue into this discussion. So what do we know regarding the Kohen Gadol? Kohen Gadol can only marry a Besula. A woman who was not violated. And over here, we're going to be discussing, this is going to be a slightly uncomfortable daf today, but that's fine. This is where I earn the big bucks. So the Gemara today is going to be going over exactly what it means, that she has to be pristine, that she cannot be violated. The Gemara is going to speak graphically about what exactly that means. Again, let's go over what the Gemara's assumptions are. I know I just said it earlier, but as we are resetting here for this Mishnah, so the Gemara's assumptions are as follows. And the woman has Dam Besulim, she has a hymenal sac, and the assumption of the Gemara is that over the course of her development, even if she's not violated, but what happens is that it thins out as she gets older. So up until 12 and a half years of age, meaning during her stage of Katana and Nara, so the Dam Besulim is at its most robust, and then what happens is that it thins out over the course of her life. When the Torah gives instructions for the Kohen Gadol to marry Besulim, is she allowed to marry Bogaris? She still has some Besulim, but she doesn't have all of it. So as we're going to see in our Mishnah, that's subject to a debate. And then, uncomfortably, what we're also going to be discussing is, let's say the woman was violated, but she wasn't violated in what is Bia Kedarka, but Bishalo Kedarka. So in unnatural relations, in anal intercourse, is that considered that this woman is violated? The Gemara is going to discuss that as well. Okay. Gemara is going to be discussing numerous points over which who a Kohen Gadol can marry. I was curious last night, so I did a little bit more research and wanted to know why Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besula. Meaning that why questions, as you know already, so I avoid them because it's much easier to discuss the what's than the whys. But nevertheless, if you want any one of the Tamei HaMitzvos, meaning it's not the reason why the Torah gave it to us, but at least things that we can learn. In other words, lessons we can learn from the mitzvos. So the Sefer HaChinuch is the best place to go. So I went through it last night. So I opened up a Sefer HaChinuch, went through it. It's Reish Ayin Beis in the Sefer HaChinuch, right? 272. So in the mitzvah Reish Ayin Beis, so he discusses why the Kohen Gadol specifically has to marry a Besula. And he says, because the Kohen Gadol is the on the highest level of Tahara. Right, Kohen Gadol obviously is going to go into Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he has to be on the highest level of Tahara. The woman that he marries also has to be on the highest level of Tahara. So you have a woman who was previously violated, she's not on the highest level of Tahara. And even, right, and the Sefer Chinuch writes, it'd be better if I had it in front of me and read it, but I'm just giving you a quick synopsis, and I encourage you, look it up. He says, and even as a woman becomes now a Bogeris. So he writes that a Bogeris is now older, and even if she wasn't experienced, but still, in other words, her mind is going to wander, and she will not be as Tahora as a Kohen Gadol needs. Okay, that's a quick synopsis of the Sefer Chinuch. Anyway, let's start with the Mishnah. Kohen Gadol lo yisa almana. So Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. Again, a Kohen Hejot is allowed to marry almana. Kohen Hejot cannot marry a grusha. Okay, so Kohen Gadol lo yisa almana can't marry an almana. Bein almana min erusin, bein almana min nesuin. And over here, widow does not differentiate regarding whether or not she was widowed either from kiddushin or from nesuin. If she's widowed from kiddushin, obviously she's still basula, but it doesn't matter. Meaning she has the status of an almana, therefore the Kohen Gadol can't marry her. V'lo yisa sabogeres. And according to the Tanakhama, let's call the Tanakhama Reb Meir, because that's accurate. So according to Reb Meir, lo yisa sabogeres, not allowed to marry bogeres, which is in fact the accepted halacha. Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon, machshir mebogeres. And Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon says that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry a bogeres. V'lo yisa mukaseitz. Now, if let's say she lost her besulim through some form of an accident, the Gemara's expression always is mukaseitz, meaning she was wounded by wood. Okay, it doesn't matter what wounds her, but basically something ruptured her besulim, so a Kohen Gadol cannot marry her because she no longer has besulim. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. So the Gemara is going to go through number one. Amana lo yikach ben amana min eres and ben amana min asuin. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa. So the Braisa corroborates our Mishnah that when a woman is an almana, it doesn't matter what point she becomes an almana, whether it's from Kedushin or Suin, she is banned from marrying a Kohen Gadol. Pshita ma'u detema leilof almana almana mitamar. So the Gemara wonders, isn't it obvious? Meaning, why would you think there's a difference between almana from Erisin or Nesuin? So the Gemara says, because I would have thought that we should model almana from Tamar. Why would we model almana from Tamar? Because the Torah actually uses the words almana in describing Tamar. Tamar, who was married to Yehuda's oldest, then second oldest, and Rachmanis, she became widowed from both of them. So I might have thought that serves as a template for what is considered an almana. That's what I would have thought. So Malahalam and Nesuin, Afkam and Nesuin, obviously she was fully married to both of her husbands, and she had relations with both of them. Maybe that serves as a model of what an almana is, Kamash Malan. So that's why we need a drasha to tell us that no, almana here regarding the Kohen Gadol means even if she didn't have relations with her late husband, meaning she's an almana from Kiddushin, from Erisin. Still, that's called an almana. So Ve'emach, and the Gemara says, you know, the Hava Mina sounds pretty good. The Gemara says, yeah, but do me the Grusha. Ma Grusha bein mina nesuin, bein mina Erisin, af almana bein mina Erisin, bein mina nesuin. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's true, but Aman and Grusha are put side by side together, meaning the Torah goes out of its way to tell me that a Kohen Gadol cannot marry a Grusha as well. By the way, a fair question to ask. We're not going to entertain the question, but it is a fair question to ask. Why does the Torah tell me that the Kohen Gadol can't marry a Grusha? A Kohen Hejot cannot marry a Grusha. Meaning, so by virtue of the fact that we know Kohen Hejot can't marry a Grusha, it seems pretty obvious that a Kohen Gadol can't marry a Grusha. Why does the Torah have to repeat Grusha by Kohen Gadol? Okay, I'm going to put that question away. It's a good question. But meanwhile, we know that a Kohen Gadol can't marry a Grusha. Ah, so just like a Grusha, there's no differentiation between Grusha from either Erisin or Nesuin. So too, by Amana, there's not going to be any differentiation between Erisin and Nesuin. Okay, Adkan. That takes us to the first part of today's daf. Now, V'lo Yisasa Bogeres. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to be discussing the Kohen Gadol's allowance to marry a Bogeres. Machlokus in the Mishnah, Rameir says cannot, prohibited from doing so. And Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon says mutter. What's behind this machlokas tana rabbanan? Well, we'll get there in just a moment. Gemara again gives us another brisa. V'hu isha b'fsula hayikach. So again, the instructions are very clear in the Torah, and that a Kohen Gadol's got to marry a besula. Prat lebogeres shekalala besula hadivra meir. So that excludes the bogeres because now the wording of the brisa over here is kalula besula. That's a lot stronger than the way I presented it earlier this morning. right? In other words, it's totally terminated, meaning there are no basulim left. Okay, I'm mitigating it just a little bit because empirically we know that there definitely is some basulim left. So regardless, the point is that there is a diminishment. There is a thinning out of the basulim. And according to Rameyer, that's insufficient. Meaning the Torah's instructions for the Kohen Gadol is to marry a woman with her basulim. And that means kol basulim while it's at its thickest. And Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Machshirim, Rebbe Algeris. And as we already know in the Mishnah, but the Brisa here corroborates that according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, a Kohen Gadol can marry a Belgeris. Now, B'maika Miflugi. So the Gemara now wants to uncover what are the dynamics, what is behind the Machlokas of Rameyer and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. Rameyer Savar, so Rameyer says it's this, like this. If the Torah would have used just the word Besula by itself, what would the word Besula by itself indicate? So Besula, afilo mixas Besula mashma. So according to Rameyer, Besula tells me that I don't need all the Besulim. I don't need the Besulim to be at its most robust. Even afilo mixas. Even a little Besulim would be acceptable. Meaning a Bogeris has a little bit of Besulim. Now Besuleha, but the Torah doesn't stop there. In other words, the Torah gives us not one, but two additional letters. The Yud and the Beis. Right now we're focusing on the Yud. Right? Besuleha, that's the additional Yud. So Adi'ika kol Besulim. So with that additional yud, that comes to tell me now that a besula in this case has to be kol besulim, meaning she needs to have her besulim at its most robust, i.e. during the stage of either ketana or nara. Now, bivsulaha, now we have the extra base. What do we learn from that extra base? Bikadark inshal ukadark alo. So that means to tell me that, let's say she was violated, but not naturally, but rather unnaturally. So, then, according to Rameyer, she will not be disqualified to a Kohen Gadol. Meaning, bivsuleha, only bemakom besulim, that's natural relations. Only there does it need to be at its fullness. But the shalokadarka, unnaturally, so there it can be, and I know this is indelicate, but this is a drush according to Rameyer. But unnaturally, even if she was violated unnaturally, that will not disqualify from Aaron Kohen Gadol. So according to Rameyer, so Machmir on one side, Mikel on the other side. And by the way, for Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, it's going to be flipped. We'll all see it together. So that means now that according to Rameyer, so she has to have full Besulim, which means that a Bogeris will be disqualified. On the other hand, for the unnatural, she could be violated and still she would be eligible for a Kohen Gadol. Give me a moment. Let's spell this out first. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Savar. Now Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. So his starting point is going to be a different starting point. Meaning it's all generated from the question of Besula by itself. What would that indicate? Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Savar, Besula, Besula, Shlema, Mashma. So he starts off by the word Besula. That would indicate that there has to be full Besulim. Now we go from there. Now Besuleha, the extra Yod. So which direction can we go? Well, if Besula starts off at maximum, so then the Yud is going to darshan in the other direction. Afilu mixas Besulim, so that means to say that you don't need the full Besulim. And Bivsula, as you call Besula Kayamim, Bain Bikadarka, Bain Shalok Kadarka. And Bivsula tells me now that either front or on the back, so you still need whatever residual Besulim that you need it on both Kadarka and on Shalok Kedarka, which means then that according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, so vis-a-vis the natural form of intimacy, so there, even if it's Mixas Besulim, she's eligible to a Kohen, i.e. a Bogeris can marry a Kohen Gadol. On the other hand, when it comes to the unnatural, there also needs to be Mixas Besulim. Now, I say that not fully understanding what I'm saying, meaning that according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, so this, whatever limited amount of Besulim you need it both on the front and on the back. So that means to say that he's Mekel and he's Machmir, but in the other direction. Meaning for the natural, so there you need only Mixas Besulim. But for the unnatural, you also need it to be unviolated. So that means according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, a Bogeris can marry a Kohen Gadol, but a woman who was violated anally, so cannot marry a Kohen Gadol. Okay, so. That's a separate question. It's a fair question, but it's a separate question. We're just right now going over what are the what is allowed and what is not allowed. We are now. That's the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar Rebbe Shimon. So, what comes out over here is a question of how to darshan the pasuk, where the starting point is, and as a result of where the starting point is, where do we end up regarding a woman's ability to marry a kohen gadol? I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. Okay, Gemara continues. Nival shaloka darka psula lukuhuna. So, a statement by Rav is that a woman who has violated shaloka darka, unnatural, so she will not be she will be banned from marrying a kohen. Now, of course, you have to start off with the question of who's Rav following? Is he following the sheet of Rav Meir, or is he following the sheet of Rav Elazar Rebbe Shimon? We already know the answer, meaning Rav Meir would allow such a woman to marry a kohen gadol, so it must be that he's following the sheet of Rav Elazar Rebbe Shimon. But hold that thought. Mesiv Rava. Velos yele isha. Beisha aru yelo pral aman lo kohen gadol grusha v'chulus lo kohen heja. Okay. So we are challenging over here based on the following brisa. Okay, in order to understand this brisa, Velosi Elisha is talking about what? It's talking about a woman who, Rachmanis, she was violated by a man. Okay, we're not talking about adultery over here. We're just simply talking about a man violating a woman, raping a woman, and what are the consequences? The Torah in Parshas Kiseitze says the consequences are threefold. Number one, he has a kenas to pay. He has to pay her fine. Number two is he has to marry her. Number three, he can't divorce her. Okay, more of this is going to be discussed in Ksuvos. Specifically, the third parak of Ksuvos. Okay. Velosi Elisha. So, a discussion in the Gemara. Not a discussion, sorry. A brisa. So, tells us that when is this man going to be able to marry the woman that he violated? And, oh, by the way, right, it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it. Obviously, she has to be willing and want to marry this man. Okay? I understand, right? The chances are she's not going to be wanting to marry a man who took advantage of her, but regardless, if in fact she is, if she's receptive to the idea of marriage, so then he must marry her. Velosi Elisha. Fine. Under these circumstances, now the Gemara quotes the Brisa. The Brisa says, "Velosi Elisha beisha haruuyalo." Yes, it's true that if somebody violates a woman, he must marry her again with her consent. But only somebody he's allowed to marry. Ah. So let's say, and I know this is going to sound strange, and by far and away, it's not going to be one of the strangest things I'm going to be saying this morning, but let's say the Kohen Gadol violates an almana. Okay. Earlier this morning, I talked about him being on the highest level of Kedusha and Tahara. Okay. What is he doing violating an almana? Okay. It's weird. But so the Brisa tells us that if a Kohen Gadol was to be ma'anes a amana, an amana, so he can't marry her. So therefore, we can't be mekayim the mitzvah over here. I'm using the word loosely, but we can't be mekayim the mitzvah of Velosi Elisha. Okay. Parenthetically, the Gemara in Ksuva says that he still has to pair a kenas. And all the damages as well. But he's not going to marry her. Now, the Gemara says, now, we have to think this through. Meaning that Kohen Gadol was Ma'anes and Amana. And I have a drasha to tell me it's Isha She'in Ru'uyalo. In other words, he can't marry her. Why? Because she's an Amana. Wait one second. Before even getting to the Amana portion of the discussion. So he violated her. What does that mean? She's no longer a Basula. Granted, that's as a result of him, but still, she's no longer a besula. So, So the Gemara says, so why would the Brisa need to tell me that he can't marry her because she's an amana, even before going there? In other words, he can't marry her because she's not a besula. So, alalav shalokadarka. Ah, so it must now mean that he did violate her, but he violated her shalokadarka. Now, again, this is uncomfortable, but it's okay. The halacha is very clear. And that is that ones, when a man violates a woman, all the requirements of kenas, velosi eliisha, would be true whether it's kedarka or even if it's shlo kedarka. Right? As we've discussed already numerous times, especially here in the sixth parak, bia shlo kedarka, still considered bia. Ah. So what he did is he was monitor shlo kedarka. Now you understand. So he was monitor shlo kedarka. What does that mean? It means that is she still a basula? The answer seems to be yes. Not seems to be. The answer is yes. And so why can't he marry her? Because she's an amana. That's what the Bryce is talking about. So now what's the problem? The problem is Rav. Meaning Rav made the comment. He made the statement. Not a comment. But he said the halacha that a woman who was had bia shlo kedarka, she will be banned and disqualified from marrying Kohen Gadol. Oh. But wait one second. We just learned the Brysa, and the Brysa has to be talking about where the Kohen Gadol was ma'ane sur shlo kedarka. There's no other possibility. And he was ma'ane sur shlo kedarka. And why can't he marry her? Because she's an amana. But in other words, but in terms of basulim, she's still a basula. That's difficult for Rav. So the Gemara says, Hamani Rav Meir he. So the Gemara says, okay. So here's what I'll tell you. I'll tell you that the Brysa we just learned together, that's the Shita Reb Meir. Meaning, as I foreshadowed, but now it's going to be clear here in the Gemara, Rav was saying his halacha, not according to the Shita Reb Meir. Rav was saying over his halacha according to the Shita of Reb Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. So now, it's very good. The Brysa is going like Reb Meir, and Rav is not going like Reb Meir. V'Rav Damar K'Reb Elazar. And we're gonna line up Rav like the Shita of Reb Elazar. Okay, so E K'Reb Elazar, my area mishum beula typically da havile zona. So the Gemara says, wait one second. So the if in fact we have Rav going like Reb Elazar, so so now here comes the problem. Okay, so again, just a quick introduction to the next point of the Gemara, and that is a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen for that matter cannot marry a zona. Okay. Zona, loosely translated as a prostitute. But the as we're learning Yavamos here in the sixth parak, what we're going to do is we're going to leave that very simplistic translation of Zona. Zona is a woman who had relations with someone she's not allowed to have with. So let's say, for example, a woman has relations with a non-Jew. A Jewish woman has relations with a non-Jew. She's now a Zona. And as I pointed out in the past, she can't marry a Kohen. Right? Period. So yeah, right. I've told you before, right? I know such a case, right? The Balas Tshuva, she was dating a Kohen. They went to a Rav, and the Rav said, "Let's see, right? Went over the history. Okay, the relationship can't continue, right? In other words, both of them want to do the right thing. Okay. In other words, she's a Zona. Kohen can't marry a Zona. Fine. So now." The parameters of Zona, meaning I say she had a relations that she was not allowed to have. What exactly is included within those parameters? So there is a Shita Rebbe Elazar. We're going to be hearing the Shita a couple times over the course of this parak of Yevamos. Rebbe Elazar the Tana. Rebbe Elazar Shita is that Panu Haba Apanuya. Any act of relations out of the context of marriage, that makes her a Zona. Now that's a Zona. Okay? And that is an extreme viewpoint. Extreme, by the way, not, I don't mean extreme meaning out of the realm, because obviously he's part of the Masorah, but that is a harsh viewpoint. But that's the Shita Reb Elazar. So now that we're all here, so now you understand what the Gemara's problem is. Panu Abba Panuya, so the woman's a Zona. So over here, the Gemara says, Ik Reb Elazar, we're on. Nun Testament base, we're two lines down. So if we're lining up Rav like Reb Elazar, which we know is correct, because again he's saying that a woman who was who had bia shlo kedarka is puzzled from a Kohen, so obviously he's going like Reb Elazar. So now in our case over here, so wait one second. So why do we have to get to the point of her being an amana? My area mishum beula typically davile zona. At this point in time, let's just simply say that she's a zona. She had relations outside the context of marriage. Okay, so Amar Rav Yosef, Kagon. So the Gemara says, okay, so that would be true, but Kagon Shenival Ala Behema. So the Gemara says like this, you're right. If a woman had relations with a man, and even if it was Bia Shalom Kedarka, so yes. So it gets to the question of her being a Ba'ula. That part's true. Why doesn't also the Zona status kick in? Mm-hmm. Meaning, if she's having relations, and it does not matter whether it's Bia Kedarka or Bia Shalom Kedarka, if she's having relations with another man, she's now a Zona. So then the issue of Ba'ula no longer should play a role. So the Gemara has a solution and an uncomfortable solution. but it's a solution. We can decouple the issue of Zona and the issue of Ba'ula. If, let's say, for example, she has Bia with a Behema. Bia with a Behema, so on one hand, that will be a physical violation, and she will now be considered a Ba'ula. However, she doesn't become a Zona. Okay, why? So, as a basic rule, because Zona only, the status of Zona can only be conferred upon her only when she has relations with a man. That's the halacha. So the Gemara says, fine. So the, Mishim Ba'ula, Ika Mishim Zona, so, Amar Rav Yosef, Kagon Shinivala Behema. The Hasim Mishim Ba'ula, Ika Mishim Zona Leka. So Amar Le Abai Mimanavshach. So Abai says, at which point in time, why should it make a difference? If she is a Ba'ula, she'll be a Zona. And if she's not a Ba'ula, she won't be a Zona. Meaning Rav Yosef's assumption is that these two issues go hand in hand. Meaning if the animal cannot confer upon her the status of Zona, the animal can also not confer upon her the status of being a Ba'ula. V'chi tema midah d'havi amukaseit shelo kedar amukaseit. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. What do you mean the issues go hand in hand? Not necessarily. Meaning, what about mukaseits, right? A woman who had an accident, right? As we learned back in the Mishnah. Now, is that woman a Zona? Obviously no. Meaning, of course not. I mean, a mukaseits just simply means that she had an accident, an unfortunate accident, and she lost her besulim. Is she a Zona? Of course not. So the Gemara says that if a mukaseits, clearly you could see the difference between the status of Zona and the status of Ba'ula, so over here as well. In other words, why can't the issues be decoupled over here as well? So the shelo kedarka. So the Gemara says, well, the
what's the relationship
with the animal? Wait, give me a second, let's finish the thread. So amida davia mukase shelo kedarka. So and let's say that the that mukadesh lo kedarka, meaning the Gemara is just setting up an example in which you know clearly that the issues need to be decoupled. So let's say imkain el chayisha shekshir lakuna shalonasas mukadesh ayidet tzur. Let's consider the following, and I know this is uncomfortable to consider, but let's consider the following. Okay, a woman after having gone to the bathroom, number two, so she wipes herself. Okay, now this is right. You want to be fortunate that you're here in the 20th and 21st century. So back in the day, so wiping themselves were with stones. Mm-hmm. The Gemara throughout Shas talks about hygienics back in the good old days, and that is they would wipe themselves with stones. So now, you're going to tell me now that we're not going to we're going to be able to distinguish between being a ba'ula and the status of znus. Consider every time she goes to the bathroom, what she's doing is that she's taking a stone and she's wiping herself. Are we going to be looking at that as Bia Shaloka Darka? Obviously not. Because if that would in fact be the case, there would not be a situation, there would not be a single woman who would be allowed to marry a Kohen. Meaning she's what? She's a Zona now as a result of that? Obviously not. So obviously we're going to be able to see a clear distinction between being a, let's use the word ba'ula versus being a zona. Obviously, the issues are going to have to be decoupled. So now, let's go over. So, a woman had relations with a man, whether it's kedarka, whether it's shelo kedarka, meaning we're lining up Rav like the sheet of Rav Elazar. So, the question becomes, how do we find such a woman to be only an issue of ba'ula and not an issue of Zona? Meaning, if she had relations with a man, so aside from the Ba'ula issue, which is the one we're focusing on, Lagabi the Kohen Gadol, isn't there also a simple question of being a Zona? Her being with a man is going to confer upon her the status of Zona. Why are we having such a lengthy discussion regarding whether she's a Ba'ula or not? If it's with a man, she's also a Zona. And again, why are we insisting that she's a Zona? Because we know that Rav is saying it according to the sheet of Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says that a woman, in order to marry a Kohen Gadol, has to be a non-violate, a woman who has not violated either Kedarka or Shelo Kedarka. But what the Gemara is trying to struggle with is, well, if that's true, well, that also means that she had relations with a man who is not her husband, right? in a moment we'll talk about how it could be. But in other words, a woman who was with a man that wasn't her husband, and mind you, by the way, we're talking about the Kohen Gadol, so she couldn't have been married previously, because then she'll be an Amana or a Grusha either way. And why are we only having a discussion of Ba'ula, where we also know that the Shita Rabbi Lazar is that any relations outside the context of marriage will give her the status of being a Zona. Okay. And I know this is all a little bit complicated, but that's right now what's on the table. Gemara gives a simple answer. Amar Rebbe Zera bima enes. Okay, now I say it's a simple answer. It's not so simple, but it is. It actually is. We can have a woman who is with a man, this is a trivia. It's not trivial, but it's a woman who was with a man in the context of marriage, having lost her besulim, and yet eligible to marry a Kohen Gadol if I ignore the ba'ula, meaning she's not a zona. And that would be where she's a mama, she went through miyun. Again, miyun, we've discussed this numerous times in our Masechta. It means that she, for whatever reason, her father died, and she was married as a katana by either her brother or her mother. This is what's called Kedusha Katana, and this Kedushin is operating on a rabbinic level. The Torah empowers the father to marry off her daughter, but in the absence of the father, the Chachamim allowed for either mother or brother to marry off the daughter. This Kedusha Katana has now the following ability, and that is Miyun. If after she's married while she's a katana, and the husband provided for her up until the point where she's a nara and took care of her, but at the point of nara, she can simply walk away from this marriage through the process of what's called miyun. Miyun just simply is a refusal. She could just simply annul the marriage in doing so. So what just happened? So what just happened now? Is that this is a woman now who was with a man, but at the same time is not an amana and not a grusha. She would be allowed to marry a Kohen Hedjo. She will not be allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. So that's it. So finally, it took the Gemara a moment, but what we can do is that we can decouple. We can decouple a woman from being a Zona and at the same time being a Ba'ula. How can she not be a Zona and be a Ba'ula? And again, the challenge is further challenging based on the sheet of Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar says that panuya abal panuya, that any time you have relations outside the context of marriage, she's now a zona. So how is all that going to work? So the answer is, it's really the only answer. The answer is going to be miyun. Miyun will be the answer. I'm Rav Shimi Bar Chiya. Let's finish up today's daf. Nivala behemak shir lekahuna, a woman who had relations with a animal. So she will be permitted to a Kohen Gadol. So Tanya Namihacha, the Gemara quotes a Brisa, Nevala Mishena Isha Fapisha Biskila Ksher LeKahuna. So if she did so willingly, so that's subject to capital crime, meaning last week's Parsha, this week's Parsha. So Achrei Mos Kedoshim. So bestiality is a capital crime. But meanwhile, let's say she was forced. In fact, the Gemara is about to tell us a story. So so she will be permitted to marry Kohen Gadol. So kiyazor of dimi amar ma'isa b'riva achas behetelo shaisa mechabedes es abayis v'rav akelav kofri me'achareha. So in fact, the woman, it's a tragic story. So a woman was in her house, she was sweeping, and she was violated b'yashlo kedarka by a dog. And v'hechshir Rebbe l'kohuna. So and Rebbe says she's allowed to marry a Kohen. And not just a Kohen, by the way, but a Kohen Gadol. So to which the Gemara immediately responds, Amar Shmuel, Kohen Gadol be mei Rebbe, Kohen Gadol mi have. So, I'm sorry, let me do this better. Amar Shmuel, Kohen Gadol. So, and Shmuel's comment on Rebbe's psak is that she can even marry Kohen Gadol. Now, be mei, Kohen Gadol. So, and then the Gemara just asks historically, that doesn't work. Be mei Rebbe, Kohen Gadol mi have. So, El Ru'i, Kohen Gadol. Now, by the point of Rebbe Yehuda Anasi lived, somewhere within the second century. At that point in time, there was no Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol was destroyed earlier, right? Rashi over here goes over when, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai obviously saw the destruction of the second temple. Anyway, by the time Rebbe came about, there was no Bayis Sheni, there was no Kohen Gadol. It just simply means that Rebbe was discussing it more theoretically. Theoretically, she would be allowed to marry Kohen Gadol. So, Amalei Rava, let's edit me parzakula Ravashi. So that means to say that when an animal has relations with a woman, so it will not confer upon her the status of being a zona. How do I know that? So it's based on the following. Back to Parshas Ki Seitze. So we know that Eslan Zona Michir Kelev is going to be two animals that cannot be brought as a carbon. Okay, Eslan Zona. So a woman who hires her services out, and her payment is an animal, let's say. So that is Eslan Zona. So that animal cannot be used as a carbon. Okay, Mechir Kalev, in exchange for a dog. I know that doesn't sound like a bad thing, and certainly it requires better understanding of why. But okay, Mechir Kalev cannot be used. In other words, so if I swap an animal, sheep, goat, whatever animal is eligible to be brought as a carbon, and I swap it out for a dog, so Mechir Kalev cannot be used as a carbon as well. Vitzanan, okay, now on that, a Mishnah in Temura. Esnan Kalev Mechir Zona Mutarim. Let's say it's Esnan Kalev Mechir Zona. You see what just happened over there? So it's not Esnan Zona, but Esnan Kalev. It's not Mechir Kalev, but Mechir Zona. Meaning by virtue of the fact that the Torah gives these two very specific examples, it means that if I were to cross and take Esnan and apply it to a Kalev, or Mechir and apply it to a Zona, so then that would be eligible to be brought as a carbon. So Mutarim, Shenemar Gam Shneihem, Shneim Velo Arba'ah. Okay, and because the Torah uses the word, uses specifically the number two, these two are going to be disqualified to be brought as a carbon. But if I switch them, they would be permitted to be brought as a carbon. Okay, now as Rashi points out over here, Esnan Kelev. What is Esnan Kelev? So this is going to be indelicate. But in the course of today's daf, that's where we are. We're just discussing indelicate topics. So this is going to be indelicate. What does that mean, Esnan Kelev? Prostitution for a dog. So it happens to be that Rashi in a couple places explains it a little bit differently. Rashi in today's daf, we're learning today's daf. So I'll present Rashi in today's daf. Where that is a man hires a prostitute, but not for himself, but rather for his animal. Okay. Obviously, everyone in the story has got issues. But right now, what I can do easily is not worry about the people's issues. Just worry about the halacha. And that is that the halacha is that what she received as payment now is not disqualified for the Beis HaMikdash. This is where, such a wonderful example of, like, in other words, for us to try to figure out Ratzon HaTorah and for us to try to forecast what the Torah would say, this is an excellent example of, I would not forecast what the Torah would say. Meaning that the Torah would say that such a payment is not disqualified to be brought as a carbon. Meaning, if she hires herself out as regular prostitution, that animal cannot be used as a carbon. But if she hires herself out for this kind of unusual prostitution, that payment is not disqualified. Right? If I would have guessed over here, I would have guessed wrong. Okay, so just a wonderful example of, right, it's not that easy to forecast what the Torah is going to say in particular scenarios. The point of all this, meaning aside from this being most uncomfortable and most indelicate, the point of all this is that relations with an animal does not qualify as znus. If it qualified as znus, so then the resulting animal, the resulting payment would be disqualified to be brought as a carbon. So in other words, it doesn't qualify as znus. It certainly qualifies as disturbing and distorted, and it's obviously, in other words, whatever superlative adjectives you want to use, obviously. But right now, this is Gemara 101. This is all the legalities of it doesn't qualify as nus. That's just a simple point of the Gemara. So relations with an animal does not qualify as nus. Again, it's a capital crime, and if done with witnesses and warning, subject to capital punishment. But right now, we're just discussing it in the context of nus. Okay. Gam Shneim below Arba. Tana Rabbanan. No, you know what? I know we have a two dots coming up, but this actually is a new topic, and I see the time. Let's quickly recap our daf today. Okay. First question on the table for today was a Kohen Gadol who is so funny. The first question of today's daf is by far and away the easiest to discuss, and right, the most benign of all of our discussions. But okay, quick recap. First question in today's daf was a Kohen Gadol who must marry a Besula. So, assuming right now that he's not allowed to marry a Bogaris, although we now know it's Machlokas Tanayim, but if, let's say, he was mekadesh a katana. Katana could either mean narak or katana, and then but doesn't do nisuin until she's a bogaris. So is that acceptable or unacceptable? So it really becomes a question of yikach. Ki, I'm sorry, vehu isha bifsula yikach. Is the yikach going on the kiddushin, or is it going on the nisuin? Question, Gemara did not come up with a definitive answer. Sounds like from the Gemara's conclusion that's no good. Meaning that he has to do both the kiddushin and the nisuin while she is either katana or nara. That's what it certainly sounds like from the Gemara's conclusion. Next. Mishnah talks about who a Kohen Gadol can marry, who a Kohen Gadol cannot marry. So the Torah is clear, but the Mishnah is even clearer. On what point? Almana. Kohen Gadol cannot marry an Almana, and it doesn't matter whether she's an Almana from Erisin or from Nisuin. Can a Kohen Gadol marry a Bogeris? Now, the assumption of the Gemara is a Bogeris has some Besulin, but residual. It's thinned out as the woman is developing, maturing. Meaning that the Besulim is at its fullest when she's a Katana and when she's a Nara. But when she becomes a Bogeris, so as part of her developmental, physical development, so the Besulim thins out. So can a Kohen marry her? Machlok is between Tanayim. Rameir says no, and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon say yes, he can marry a Bogeris. And the Mishnah says that a Kohen cannot marry Mukazetz. Okay. Gemara's discussion today, Rav Avner on number one, when it comes to Amana, how do I know it's Eris and Nisuin? So it's a Hekesh. Number two, what's behind the Machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar regarding the Kohen's ability to marry a Bogeris? It starts off with what does the word Besula by itself mean? And then when I add on the drushas of the Yud and the Beis, so how would that affect it? Comes out over here is that according to Rabbi Meir, so a Kohen cannot marry a Bulgaris, but a Kohen can marry a woman who had Bia Shalom Kedarka. It comes out that according to Rabbi Lazar, a Kohen can marry a Bulgaris, but cannot marry a woman who had Bia Shalom Kedarka. And then the longer discussion regarding the Shita of Rav. Rav said that a woman who had Bia Shalom Kedarka is possible for marrying a Kohen. That was the statement of Rav. Rav is working within the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Lazar says that Bishlo Kedarka is going to apostle her. The Gemara is bothered by Rav is going like Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar also happens to be of the opinion that Panuya, Ba Panuya will make her a Zona. Oh. So the problem is that even before dealing with the fact that she's a Ba'ula versus a Basula, what about the fact that she's now a Zona? A Zona cannot, a Kohen Gadol can marry a Zona. A Kohen Hejut's not allowed to marry a Zona. So how do we ever get to a situation where she's not a Zona, but she's a Ba'ula? But the answer is Mian. Mian served as the answer. And the last thing that we discussed is that if a woman had relations with a Behema, is that going to make her a Zona? And the answer is no. And how do we know it? So we quote a Mishnah in Temura, and the Mishnah in Temura definitely points in that direction.